You may be seated. forward to your practice tonight, so I'll get quickly into the Word of God and see you practice so you can sing for your glory, for God's glory, not for yours. Bless the Lord with your singing. We'll be in Genesis chapter 5. Some of you may not stay around for the meeting after. You have things you got to do. Maybe there's something you think, maybe wanting to help with. Now that we have enough candy, we have enough gift cards, we're in need of 300 canned drinks. So not all by one person, of course. So if you could bring a 12-pack here or 12-pack there, that would be a blessing. And I'm fixing to go crazy if I don't fix this thing up here. It's driving me bananas. I've looked at it the whole time. My mind will not let me preach if I get over it. Don't fix that. One crooked, whatever that is. What did I say? Oh, canned drinks. About 300, so I think 28 times 12 is what? Who knows the math? 28 times 12.
296.
We're almost there, aren't we? There, how it works. Okay, and then the popcorn goodies. I saw chocolate chips needed to be gotten, some caramel, all that kind of good stuff. So look up there, sign up on that sheet so we can have enough of the popcorn and stuff. And then if you can help with canned drinks. Now, we need those by Wednesday because Thursday we'll have to go get everything we don't have. So I'm thinking we'll do fine. Y'all have done great with the candies, with the gift cards. Continue to invite people. There's still some more flyers over here. If you pass by a church, stick one on their door if nobody's there, invite them. We're not trying to steal their people. We just want to let them know that we're having something going on for the youth. So reach out to them so that they'll know that it's here. That'll be a blessing to us all. All right, Genesis chapter 5. Again, happy Mother's Day to all of you. Genesis chapter 5. This is kind of the death chapter. I'm going to read the whole chapter and then just talk a little bit about some odds and ends about it. Verse 1. This is the book of the generations. You notice that generations is plural. The book of the generations of Adam. Now hold yourself there and flip over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So that is singular. In Adam, over here in Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, this is the book of the generations of Adam, because you had many families and nations that sprung up out of him. But all that are in Christ are in one family, and that's God's family. So you see a little difference there in the genealogies there, a little singular, a little plural. Verse number 1, let's continue reading in chapter 5. In the day that God created man in his likeness, of God made he him, male and female, created he them, and blessed them, called their name Adam, in that day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Verse 9, Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Verse 18, Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years, and he got sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived after about Lamech 782 years, begot sons and daughters. All the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived after 182 years and begot sons. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work. This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord had cursed." And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And that is the end of the chapter. How many of you noticed how many times it said he lived and he died? He lived and he died. A total of 8 times in that chapter if he was counting them and writing them up. From Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Methuselah, Jared, Methuselah, Lamech. The universal thought you get here is men live and die. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. You say, "Pastor, this is a fairy tale. Nobody's lived this long." But people believe that we've been around millions and millions of years. So is theirs a fairy tale too? I think God's written word is fact and absolute. God said it was that long. We have to understand that sin had not yet taken its toll, but we did notice something. Did y'all notice something as we kept reading? Verse by verse by verse. The length of days began, the years began to shorten and shorten and shorten, did it not? The last one down there, Lamech lived how many years? 707 years, 31. And the days of Lamech were 777 years. 770, oh, that's like 777. Don't run out of here, go buy y'all no lottery tickets. Y'all put numbers together already, trying to get you some winning tickets. So, sin began to take its toll. Now, we see the first Adam, which we see here, Adam. And in Adam, the Bible says, all do what? Now, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hold your place there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 22. First Corinthians 15, verse number 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So, by one man sin entered this world. So death passed upon all men. That's what the Bible says in the book of Romans. And so we have here the generations of Adam, and God began to name them and lay them out to us and show us a long lifespan. The Bible's kind of narrowed it down for us. If you would, flip over to Psalms chapter number 90. Psalms chapter number 90. look at verse number 9. Psalms chapter 90, verse number 9. For all the days are passed away in thy wrath, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So the lifespan of man has been shortened because of sin. And it's down to what we see there in Psalms chapter number 90, around 70 plus years as being the norm. Some of you, I don't want to embarrass nobody, but some of you are beyond that 70-year mark. And you have to think about this. The long lifespan, you think about Methuselah lived 969 years. Lamech lived the shortest 777 years. And we get to live around 70, 80, maybe some 90. I think, Brother Jim, your mom's how old right now? 94? 97 years. Sister Swagman's a young 62 years old. There, she's 88 right now. Sister Betty, I think you're above 80 now. And so God's graced you with some time. Don't take that lightly. You think about here as the testimony of these men and the time span and as it spread across. I made a little notation here of something. The spiritual significance. Think about this. Adam lived until Lamech was 56 years old. Adam lived until Lamech was 56 years old. Then Adam died. That's a lot of investment into people. And so maybe, your lifespan is but 70 or 75 or 80. But, you can invest into people's lives. Don't allow the length of your days to shorten your influence. We need to be very careful with those that are in our influence, in our realm of influence. What did the Bible tell us about one, about Seth? Then men begin to seek the Lord. That's the influence. Then men begin to seek the Lord. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, verse number 21, if you read there in Genesis chapter 5, verse number 21. And Enoch lived 65 years, begot Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years, and he begot sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When you talk about this man Enoch, the Bible actually only gives us, I think, around 10 verses total about a man that had such a walk with God that God said, hey, I would rather you come and spend the rest of your days up here with me. And it didn't go by the way of death. It's kind of a picture of New Testament saints whenever the trump's going to sound and we which are alive shall be caught up together with those which are dead. It's kind of a picture like, so as we walk, we'll be translated, we'll be transferred up into the presence of God and be with Him forever. If you would, flip over to Hebrews chapter number 11. It tells us a little bit more about this man, Enoch. Even in the midst of the death chapter, as they call it in Genesis chapter 5, you have this man, Enoch, who walked with God and served God and loved God in such a way that the fellowship was so sweet that God said, I'm going to take him up out of here. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let me get there. Verse number 5. Listen what it says. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, and before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then it goes on in verse 6, and we quote this verse, and we hold on to this verse a lot. Verse 6, it goes on from talking about Enoch, that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you have Enoch here, you have his walk, you have his testimony, and then you have his preaching. Look over in the book of Jude, you have 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, Revelation. Jude has one chapter. Jude, verse 14. It's kind of like that Shunammite woman that God would look down and say, and there was a great woman. Now you have Enoch tonight, and God says, and he pleased me. He pleased me. Look what it says here. You see the preaching of Jude. Jude, verse 14. The Bible says that Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So you have his testimony, you have his walk, now you have his preaching, and guess what his preaching is about? His preaching is about an event that is after the first coming of Christ. Christ's first coming is when he came upon this earth, lived upon this earth, a sinless person of man and God in his life, and died on the cross of Calvary, rose again. And Jude here is preaching about when he's coming back with 10,000 of his saints. That's the second coming. This is the preaching of Jude, that God, the seventh from Adam, would preach, would give us prophecy of such far out events. Look over in Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sit on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now go back to Jude after we've read that and read again verse number 11, I think it was. Verse 15. Go back to Jude, read again verse 15. To execute judgment. Remember he said verse 14, he saw the Lord come with 10,000 of the saints. They're coming back in judgment. Now he's moving over into the judgment seat of God, the great white throne of judgment, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of their hard speeches have ungodly sinners have spoken against. So you have the seventh from Adam walking with God, which denotes great fellowship. I don't know if you understand the need that we have to walk with God. When the Bible talks about a walk, it's talking about fellowship. We sing a song, Brother Jim. What was it? Walking. What's the name of that song? Yes, I walk with him and I talk with him. What was the one y'all said over here? I heard somebody else. Left that fast, didn't it? It's all right. It never got in mine. It took flight and left. So as we sing these songs and we talk, we need to understand the need and the importance of fellowship. And when the Bible talks about our walk, it's denoting or it's speaking about our fellowship with God. And that's very important. You remember after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord was walking down and there was two of his disciples and they began to walk together. And the Bible says they begin to muse and talk about and spend time about the scriptures. And then all of a sudden, what? Their eyes was open. I'm telling you something. Our fellowship with God's very important. How do we get fellowship with God? We walk and we talk with Him day by day. We spend time in His Word together so that our eyes may be open. We need to walk by faith, not by sight. Many of us are blind lead the blind because we walk in the flesh. We walk, hand in hand in darkness, and we have no exercising of our discernment. We don't know how to discern right from wrong because we have no walk with God. It is very important that we walk with God. Now listen, I'm not fixing to tell you that if you walk with God in such a close manner, you're going to be like Enoch and be taken away. That's not what I'm saying. There is coming a day where two will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. There'll be two in the bed, one taken and one left. There'll be two cooking and washing and cleaning, one taken and one left, dear friend. That's going to be a sad time. So our walk with God's important. Now, walking with God does not ensure that we are born again and part of God's family. Walking with God, we walk with God because we are part of God's family. Because beforehand, we were alienated of God, we were enemies of the cross, we were strangers to the doctrines and teachings of the Word of God. So when we accepted Christ our personal Lord and Savior, we have now a desire, a new divine nature. We have an understanding of Scripture that is given to us by the Holy Spirit of God. So therefore, we desire a walk with God. There's not one of us that... Now, we may have been eager to learn. We may have been wanting to discover some religious things. But we did not walk with God before we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, in a way that we would know Him. Because without knowing Him personally as our Savior, no man can enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us like this. He says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees. Well, how in the world can that happen? By our walk. By our conversation, by our daily time that we spend with the Lord. So let me ask you this question real quick. What about your walk? Not my walk, not Brother Jim's walk. But what about your walk? How are you walking with the Lord? How is your fellowship with God? That's a good question to ask. And nobody can answer that but you. I can't answer that. I mean, it's a Sunday evening. It says to me a lot that you're here tonight. That your walk with God is really pretty good. As far as man's concerned. Now listen, I've been backslidden sitting in church a lot of times. And Brother Hector, we get that away, don't we? Just because you come to church on Sunday evening and Wednesday night don't mean you have a good walk with God. But I'm telling you, it says something about you to be here. When you're here, when you give and invest your time Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, then what does that say? You want to be obedient to Scripture. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. As a matter of fact, some is. That's just how it works. And so your walk with God, how is your walk with God? Pastor, it'd be much better if I just had a little bit more encouragement, encouragement from the brethren. David wanted encouragement at Ziklag, did he not? The brethren wanted to kill him. So he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Your walk with the Lord is what's important. You walk with God, you serve God, and allow God to put friendships into your life. Allow God to work those friendships out. And Enoch walked with God, and all of a sudden he was not. I mean, he walked with God, and all of a sudden, Well, that must have been the end of everything. Well, who was the last one we read about? Noah, right? It didn't talk about Noah dying, did it? Because we know we got more story to come. It's yet to be told in the other chapters as we go verse by verse through chapter 7 and chapter 8. And chapter 6, 7, and 8, we'll know more about him. But what if it just stopped right there? That was it. That was the last part of Genesis. Noah was still alive. We know the rest of the story. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Guess who spanned his lifetime? Enoch spread. Guess who? Seth. Men began to seek God. So as Seth lived and died, he influenced those around him. But we know not the day nor the hour. Each one of these men that we read about died at a different age. So they didn't know when and who and how long they had to influence. So how's your walk with God? Because you are influencing someone. There's a song that talks about a slow fade in our Christian walk. You know, as we walk, if we're not careful, we'll take a slow fade away from God. We need to be very careful that we're walking upright with a good, godly walk. And we have a good example before us. Ten verses is all it's written about Enoch. 10 verses. If you add them up there, 10 verses, and yet we have so much known about Enoch. We have his walk, his testimony. We have even a sermon he preached. Wow. A sermon? Listen to me. We got to understand this. The flood hasn't happened yet. When we read about Enoch over in Jude, when Enoch lived, the flood hadn't happened yet. Why do you know that? Because Noah was the one that went into the ark. We know that because of Bible truths. So as he preached, as he prophesied, as he told the word of God, he was telling about some things that were far off. How did that happen? How did God let him into the secret things? By faith, he walked with God. How's God going to let you? Listen, God's ways are higher than our ways. His understanding is far beyond our understanding. Well, Pastor, if I could just figure God out, then you'd be God. Then you'd be God. How about just taking the Word of God that's there plain and simple and right before us and live it out? Instead of trying to figure out the God of the Bible. He's told us everything we need to know about Him right here. But for some unknown reason, man and all of our infinite wisdom desire to seek beyond the 66 books that He's left us. I don't know. Maybe, Brother Corey, maybe it makes us feel more spiritual than the next. Listen, there's nothing new under the sun. But here's a man, Enoch, 10 verses. God took him, and he preached about the second coming of Christ. What's your message today? You know, that tells a lot about his mindset. He's talking about things that are way out there in advance. We're not going to be able to do that today. God has canonized it. There's no new revelation. All these new prophets that are coming around today saying, God's done told me this. If he ain't told them in one of the 66 books of the Bible, God ain't told them. It's that simple. There's nothing new under the sun. God has closed and canonized and perfected and sealed and kept his word. So it's right there. So as we look into the Word of God, what's important to you? Now ask yourself these questions. Ask yourself. Pastor, I just have so much I want to enjoy. God's not trying to keep you from enjoying nothing. I mean, I don't know about you, but how many? I would like to be honest to take me a fiery chariot ride. The only thing I really want to figure out, but I don't want to do it. I don't know how to say this because I'd have to get vaccinated to do it. God, I really don't mean this. you folks that like going to Disney World and Sea World and all these amusement parks and the eye riding all these roller coasters and all this, Jonah rode a roller coaster. Y'all think Kraken is something. He rode the whale. Inside the belly, without seat belts. How many of y'all seen that Geico commercial where that guy sits down, that lady and that little boy sits down in that fair ride, he just wraps a little chain around it and they says, "Is this ride safe?" Well, something bad happens, we just move to the next town. Let me tell you something. Jonah didn't have no seatbelt. For all you helicopter moms, Jonah didn't even have a bicycle helmet. He was just sucked up into the belly's whale. I'm telling you, that had to be a ride. I would just, for a little bit, Brother Ray, I'd like to see how that happened. But I don't want to get to where Jonah was to find out. I'll wait till I get to heaven and just get a first-hand testimony. What I'm saying is there's some exciting stuff in the Bible. I would like to know how Peter walked with God on the water. Well, Pastor, he only walked two steps. You can't even take a good bath. So what if he took two, three, four, five steps? The Bible says he walked. And then the Lord reached down and pulled him up and held his hand and walked him back into the boat. I'd like to see how that, I want to see that. There's exciting stuff that's happening throughout the Bible. So quit allowing the world to rob you of the thought that God is trying to keep you from doing fun stuff. God's trying to protect you from being hurt and shamed and used and abused by Satan and the powers of this world. That's all he's trying to do. And on the other hand, some of you Christians that sit around here like Eeyore and have no fun at all, like your statue of Zeus or something, God don't mean for that. He said to have joy. Joy in the Lord and worship. So here's a story. Here's a chapter in chapter 5, Genesis, verses 1 through 32. Eight times. He lived, he died. He lived, he died. He lived, he died. And sandwiched right in the middle, God says, there's hope. And at the end, he gave us Noah. And Noah found grace with God. Yes, we live in a burdensome time. Yes, we live in a time where it seems as everything that's good is called evil and everything evil is called good. It does. But let me tell you something. My God is the God in the mountaintop and the valley. He's the God in the hospital room. He's the God at the morgue. He's the God at the police station. He's the God at the fire station. The place does not determine who our God is. He is God. So don't allow this world and the cares of the world and the living and striving and surviving. How many of you feel like you're just surviving? Don't let it just like, I'm just making it another day. You know what Jesus said? You know what the Bible says? When you've done all to stand, just stand there for. I'm more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So in the middle of death, middle of trouble, middle of heartache, God said, here's hope. At the end of it, here's grace. And that's how we live. Trouble, hope. Trouble, grace. And God's grace, God's hope is far greater than any trouble that can come our way. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed. Eyes closed. We're going to have a word of invitation. Tonight we have one that just wants to come forth and make it public. That she's just going to rededicate her life to Christ and say, Lord, I've saved. I've walked away. I've lived a life that is not pleasing, Lord. I'm back. Maybe there's somebody else who want to come down to this altar and say, Pastor, I need to get back in tune with God. I am off track.